Okay, let me give you the injuries here. Jeff Allen has a groin strain. He was able to finish the game. A little sore today, but working it out. John Osmoa had the shoulder contusion, didn't play. He's actually making progress here. Tom Bali has an ankle sprain. Did have an MRI on it, and that's what it is. It's a slight ankle sprain, and he'll continue to work this week. He was in moving around a little bit better today than he was after the game yesterday. Justin Houston actually subluxed his elbow, and we weren't able to do the MRI. He's got quite a bit of swelling in there, and they weren't able to get him in the position that they wanted to do the MRI. So we'll wait a day or so here to get the swelling down and then go from there.
So, sorry, let me interrupt you on Tomba. Is that a high ankle sprain?
Or? No, not a high ankle, no. That's better than a high ankle sprain. Yeah. Yeah. It was. I think both he and us, the doctors, and coaches, everybody felt better after he had his MRI. Mike DeVito is making progress with his knee. He had a sprained knee and didn't play. And then Eric Fisher's also doing better with his shoulder. So we'll just see how it goes by Wednesday. I say this after wins. I'm going to say it after this loss. I do appreciate the fan support. When it came down to that last drive, they were all in. And I do appreciate that from a coach's standpoint. It was a crazy day in football. I mean, when you can have six games, National Football League, come down to the last 50 seconds, you understand the intensity of the games this time of the year and the parity within the National Football League. And we're one of those six. We've got to make sure that we take care of, obviously, our game and learn from this. There's some good things in the game. There's some things that we definitely can learn from and we will learn from. So offensively, the turnover ended up in points. You can't give the turnovers up in any situation, particularly in that field position. Red zone, we excuse me, with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter at the 7-yard line, we weren't able to get it in, punch it in there, and came out with 3 points, and so obviously you want touchdowns. Defensively, listen, we've got to, and this I would tell you about both sides of the ball and special teams, but we've got to execute better. The short catches, long gains, you've got to negate those. And good passing teams, they're going to catch the football. Then you got to tackle them at that point and not give up the big yards. And we had a chance again for a couple turnovers there, one right down the stretch, ball bounces funny, so we weren't able to pick up on that. But we had a chance for two big ones, right, and one for a score that they ended up with where they were going into throwing the ball in the end zone for a score, and we were in position to make a interception there. It ended up being 3 points, but points are big in a game like that when you're going back and forth. And then right in that last drive, we had a chance. We had them 3rd and 10 there, and I'll tell you, my defense, I've got tremendous confidence in them in situations like that. I think we all felt that something good was going to happen right there, and 99% of the time it's going to happen. Likewise, 99% of the time, my defense is gonna hold a team when my offense has put up 38 points. So I've got my trust level hasn't decreased a bit in the guys at all. on either side of the ball. The main point here is that we need to continue to get better. And we're sitting here at 9-2, and you come off a game like that, and you feel like, and this is everybody. I mean, you guys probably included. You feel like your heart's been ripped out, and you got to learn from it. That's what you have to do. You know, normally means that you've worked hard. If it hurts, if it doesn't hurt, then you've got a problem. So, special teams wise, we had some good returns, which was a positive. The negative was that we had some penalties there that negated some great opportunities for good field position. So we got to do a better job with that. So with that, I'll turn it over to you. I don't know that. We'll just see how he does. He made big improvements from yesterday, but we got to see just how he does.
Is he off crutches or still using
them? He was on crutches after the game, and then today he was able to walk in the pool, and he came in with one crutch, so we're halfway there. And we'll just see.
Best possible outcome for Tomba.
What is the best possible?
It sounds like it was the best possible.
Right. Yes, it was. Yeah, the MRI, I'd tell you, was a positive. Yeah, what we saw in the MRI.
For Houston, how surprised were you, I guess, that you weren't able to get the MRI done today? What does that indicate?
Yeah, listen, I wasn't surprised. I mean, it swelled up. You could see it after the game. They tried to keep the swelling down. But you could see that it was puffing up a little bit after the game when we were in the locker room there, and then overnight it even swelled up more. So I got it. I mean, I understand how that works, and we'll wait and see.
Did you stay up to watch the end of the Broncos Patriots?
I did.
Is it better to be facing a team that's also coming up?
Well, you'll have two of them that are playing each other that came off a heart wrencher. So we're gonna get this. We're meeting with players today, so we'll get this one knocked out. The thing I want to reiterate to you: we got to continue to learn and get better. That's what we have to do. And so we'll learn from our mistakes and then get ready to play a good football team. And it should be a great atmosphere for a football game. You got two teams that are 9-2. The same division. I mean, that's what it's all about. When it's all said, no, we got to get through today and get this son of a gun knocked out, and learn from it, and get better here.
I know in Philly you've had a deal like this where you played a team twice in such a short period of time. I think you had the Cowboys maybe back to back.
I had a bunch of them. Yeah.
Do you like this? What are the pros and cons to this kind of thing?
Well, you're going to play each other anyway, so I really haven't put much thought into that part of it. I've played them literally back to back before. Yeah, and so that's a little different. There's a little bit different. At least we have a space in here where they've seen some different things. I mean, I guess that would be the seen some different things that we've done. I guess you build a resume in between games there, but it's different things that you do and that they've got to work on. But it's a reciprocal effect there. So they have a pretty good idea by this time of the year what we're doing, and we have a pretty good idea what they're doing. Now you come down and you go play and play good football.
What happened between you and Phil Rivers there on the sideline?
Nah, that was nothing. I mean, listen, he's a competitive kid, man. He played a heck of a game. And, it's just we were giving each other the business, and it was all in good competition. And, heck, he made me feel young for about 2 seconds there.
When you got these two games that are so close together, do you have to try and change what you're doing somewhat or just keep doing what you're doing but do it better?
This game is constantly changing, right? So you're always making adjustments. Within the game, you're doing it within week to week, and in this case, playing a team for the second time, you're going to try to make subtle changes in there. Are you going to change the whole pack? No, that's not. We put a lot of time and effort into what we're doing. So we can get better in some spots, and as coaches, we can put our players in better spots. I say that every week, but that's what's real. And, we can all do a better job.
So is Zombo next man up on either spot? Let's say Tomba, who's doing better, can go, but Justin can't.
Yeah, Zombo would be the third guy.
So what?
He can do either side.
What makes him? What are his characteristics that enable him to fill an 11 sack guy or a 9 sack guy?
Well, he's played a little football, right? I mean, he's had to do that at Green Bay where he filled in and did a nice job. You saw the hurry that he had yesterday and pass rush ability. So, and he's consistent. He's a smart kid. So he's a consistent player.
Coach, can you just speak more to the team accountability you stressed since training camp? You're in the locker room last night, and the guys, the offense talking about letting the defense down, the defense talking about letting the offense down, and what that means to you as a coach.
Yeah, well, that's important to have within a locker room. Listen, we all know we can get better. And we got to make sure we fix a couple things and get it right. And as long as everybody's real with themselves, I mentioned about feels like you had your heart ripped. Well, that's how it feels after a loss. And you spend so much time and effort, both physical and mental, getting yourself ready to play in a game when you come up short, then you feel that way. So, and you're real with that. You don't want that to go away. That's an important part of it. And then the important part is that you look inside and make sure you get done what you need to get done so that you can rebound that next week and play good football.
And a year ago this week, this franchise went through a pretty dark day. Obviously, you weren't here, but do you remember where you were and what came to mind when you heard about the incident that had happened?
Yeah, well, listen, I can relate to them. I something similar in my family, so I got it. That's talk about gut-wrenching experiences. That's what that is. So my heart went out to them. I understood what they're going through. I mean, I'm as it was then, it is today, that my thoughts and prayers are with both families. And really, that's, life moves on, man. That's the reality of it. I said this, when my son died, was that sometimes life throws you some curveballs, and you can't bail. I mean, you got to stand in there and you got to swing, man. And so, these aren't things that they're. I thought this organization was phenomenal in how they handled the whole situation. I mean, that's a tough thing on everybody, and you're going to be critiqued in a million different ways. But they handled it so well, and they kept this team together, Romeo and Scotty. I mean, they kept this team together and probably even brought them closer together, which is a tribute to everybody.
Well, back to
your approach of that it's a season of 16 chapters, so to speak, and your players have bought into that. But as the calendar clicks off and there's fewer in the future, these games all get a little bit more important.
Absolutely, yeah.
The last 2 weeks, I mean, is this an adjustment period for your team to be able to take it up another notch?
Well, this is kind of what's fun about the business. I mean, you're within shooting distance right here, man. And so you get this time of the year and you're in the hunt. Man, what a beautiful thing that is. Remember where this thing started, way back February, March. I mean, these guys have been busting their tail from that period on, and all of a sudden you're sitting here and you have an opportunity where these games mean something and good stuff. I mean, it means good stuff. So that's the exciting part of it.
Have they made the adjustment to the fact that, maybe what they did to go 9-0, they got to do more?
Well, we're working on that, right? I mean, we're all doing that as coaches and players. I mean, I can't sit here the last 2 weeks and tell you what we're not in the win column. So we've got to do more. I mean, that's the fact of it. And we've got to do a better job coaching, better job playing, keep working hard, keep the attitude right.
Andy. Last couple, we'll go to Rez. Randy, we'll get you. Go ahead, Rez.
Andy,
how have the rule changes, well, have the rule changes that we've seen in the league trying to make more of a passing offense affected the play calling in the sense that are you seeing more rub routes, more pick routes, more crossing patterns because of the changes that they've made?
That's a good question because there were probably a few crossing routes in that game on both sides. They had a few. We had a few. What you're seeing is you're seeing man coverage. Everybody's playing it and matching up, and that's when these crossing routes come in. And your big bodies and they're rolling around, so you're going to get these natural picks that take place, even though you don't. That's a bad word in the NFL, but they just take place. Rubs. You're in tight quarters. You saw one play we ran from an offensive side. We released, and like four guys fell down. They all ran. They had a blitz coming, and the one that AJ caught. You go back and look at that. There was no design to that. They were blitzing a bunch of people. We released two people up the field, and it was boom, like a train wreck right there. So it was those things happen. But that's why you're seeing more of those, a lot of man coverage.
How do you combat that?
You hope you end up with more than they end up. Positive plays is what you hope. So, but you've got there are techniques that you can work on. If that's your question, there are techniques that you can work on in your matchups. There's fundamentals and techniques you use.
Right.
I got two. I got to decide which one I want to spend.
Let's go.
And kind of following up for something. Does it feel like a five-game season? I mean, here you are, 9-2. They're 9-2. Is this a five-game season now?
Well, realistically, you might want to ask the next question. No, yeah. Realistically, it is a five-game season. So, I mean, and you're down to the stretch. You get past that halfway mark, and you're down the stretch, and the importance of the games. They're all important, but like you're at this point in the year, there's even a little bit more sugar on them than before.
Last one.
Andy, after Dexter got the first down and it was first and goal at the five, you said yesterday you wanted to call the timeout to settle the team down. Was there a reason not to let the play clock run down another 14 or 15 seconds?
Well, listen, I mentioned I was just there with 10 minutes left, in the fourth quarter. And I wanted a touchdown there. I mean, obviously. I mean, every point was a crucial point. And then we got snuffed on that next series, and all of a sudden we're down there. And we had a couple big plays, and I can't tell you the tanks were full in the fourth quarter. I mean, guys are tired. And so it's a crazy time of the game. We've got about a minute 28 on the clock. And so I wanted every second that I could have to make sure I had three downs, right? We're talking about first down. I had the three timeouts. I wanted every second I needed to get yourself in that end zone and get a touchdown. I didn't want a field goal. That's not what I was shooting for. And so I want to make sure we gathered up, gave my guys a blow, get the best plays called, settle the situation. Let's go score a touchdown, win the game, right? Now we happen to do it on the first play. So, and then I told you this at the beginning of this. I got the ultimate trust in my defense. I mean, that's how I feel. So you tell me, that my defense is going to hold them down with a minute and whatever on the clock. Shoot, I'm betting on my defense. I felt like I think our whole team felt. You saw there was nobody sitting on the bench. Everybody was up on the sideline going, and we just knew something good was going to happen. And I mentioned this game. It's game of inches. We were that close to having an interception right there. Doggone, third and 10 and. We were right there, and it didn't happen. So, what I thought that was the right thing to do. Yeah.